Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
I just came here to help you rate.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And this will require, among many changes, a significant shift in how players actually interact with each other physically. What has been the reaction to that part of that proposal from around baseball?
Baseball players are trying to wrap their heads around it, honestly. I think they were expecting something like this, and this is a 67-page document that essentially says baseball as we know it is going to change. Now, it's going to change in really small ways sometimes, Hannah. You're not allowed to spit. You're not allowed to have sunflower seeds on the field. One thing that got a really visceral reaction was the point that we will discourage players from showering after the game. That didn't go over well, and the MLBPA, as well as Major League Baseball executives, are going to have their chance to voice some of those concerns, and it can be everything as simple as, hey, we want to take a shower after the game, to, hey, it doesn't exactly say what happens to me if I test positive on the road. You're just going to, like, leave me in that city? How am I going to get back to my family? How am I going to get back to where I'm going? So these are the things that in the coming days, Hannah, in addition to the economic elements, are going to be really important to figure out if Major League Baseball and the players do ultimately want to get back on the field this year.
All right. Hi there, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati, Monday, May 18th. It's a re-entry Monday. It's presented by East Boston Savings Bank. So everything from the weekend, this is where we're going to start with the Major League Baseball proposal to get the season back going. It really came out late last week on Friday, so we haven't gotten to it yet. But anything from the weekend that you want to get to? The Jordan thing, the NASCAR, the golf. There's some hockey rumbling that we're going to get to later on in the program as well. German soccer, whatever the hell. Whatever the hell you want. This is what Reentry Mondays are all about. Everything from the weekend. It's Felger here from the A-Hole Chair at our Town Fair Tire Studios. Maz on remote. Hi, Maz.
Good, you?
Oh, just peachy. Thank you so much. So let's start with that Major League Baseball proposal. I have the details here in front of me. Before I get to it, though, just do you have a lead-off thought on it?
Look, I just think some of these things to me seem so excessive, and I understand that we're in the middle of a pandemic, okay? I get all that, but, like, I just think some of it is bordering on the ridiculous, and some of these are also changes that, like, I equate to some of the stuff that's going on with the golf. Like, you can't reach in the hole and grab your golf ball. So I just, and in baseball.
Did you play this weekend, by the way?
Oh, God, yeah.
Did you reach in the hole and grab the golf ball?
No.
Is the cup raised above the high? What?
No, mine has the little elevator device in it. So you reach down with your putter head, you lift the thing up, the ball rolls out, and you push it back down.
So you're actually,
then you grab your ball when it's out of the hole.
Okay, so but you're at least putting into a hole.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Putting into a hole. Yep.
Good.
It's a legit putting experience.
That's important.
It is. Absolutely. So look, but as it pertains to baseball, I just think that I'll use this as an example, and I'm not telling you it's a clean habit, but the spitting, how are you going to police that? These guys have played their whole lives with sunflower seeds, bubble gum, tobacco, combination of those things. Some of these guys can't function without it. And so I know that they're going to spit into the ground. And I would think that all things considered, that should be okay as long as they are spitting on an area that doesn't come into contact with a ball or another human being. And I'm not saying that I promote a disgusting habit or anything of the like. I'm just saying that some of this stuff I think is going to be impossible to stop.
Well, the spitting is the one that definitely stands out. Like, asking a baseball player not to spit is like asking him not to breathe. I mean, it really is. So, I don't know what the hell... Did they just put that in there to appease the public health officials to say, look, this is the these are the steps we're taking. We're going to do the right thing. And the public health official doesn't know that a player can't stop him from spitting. So, you get to pass the authorities, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I think that could very well be a part of it. I wonder if they're just starting at this extreme level and then going to whittle stuff out. And so, one of the big ones for me, and I mentioned this in the email exchange, pitchers blow on their hands constantly, or they spit on their hands, or whatever, but constantly putting their hands to their mouths to either create moisture, especially when the weather's cool, but even oftentimes when it's not, because they want some moisture and it helps their ability to grip the baseball. And so, now again, that gets in one of the gray areas of what the rules are and what you're allowed to do. But, no going in the mouth now, I assume. I mean, I didn't see that one specifically.
Yeah,
in
me
there.
Neither. I didn't either. Well, apparently there's you have your own specific rosin bag that you're supposed to use. But so I think I did actually see it. No going to your mouth.
I mean, but that's another one where I just think force of habit. A guy's on the mound, and instinctively that fist goes up towards his lips, and he blows some hot air in there, and you get a little condensation or whatever, and fine, here you go. And so there are just so many things like that are part of the game. Multiple players touching the baseball now, Mike, we got to take the ball out of play?
So that is, as well, if multiple players touch the ball, they take it out of play. They also discourage or are going to eliminate the around the horn. So you strike someone out. You don't throw it to third. You don't throw it around the diamond. You just have to go right back to the pitcher. And if there's a ball to the outfield where the outfielder handles it, there's a relay. It's to the catcher. They take that ball out of play as well.
Okay. So now you tell me, is that excessive? Because
yes.
I think it is.
Yes. Yes. And you raised a great point on the email as well, especially since what?
I don't remember what I put in the email.
They're being tested. So,
all right. So this is the ultimate point I wanted to
see,
make.
See, I'm here to help you out, Maz, with your take.
No, it's if guys are being tested and they're going into the games clean, then why can't two guys touch the ball?
Exactly.
Like, I just look at that and say, well, that's stupid. I mean, how many times are we going to have these things overlap one another? That makes no sense to me. Well, then what are we testing them for? Like, it makes, so are we going to the point where every single little detail after the fact is also going to be, because you can't live that way. You can't play that way. I just, to me, that makes no sense whatsoever. And someone else raised a good point to me today as I was talking to them about the restrictions. If more than one person touches the ball's got to come out of play. Is that how it's worded?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I'll get it for you exactly, but go.
So what happens when the pitcher throws it and the catcher takes it out of his glove? Do they have to change balls on every pitch?
No. Nope, multiple players. So, I mean, I don't. They did not mean the battery. Okay, so I don't have the exact language in front of me, but they did not mean. I did not read any of that, Miles.
Okay, but so this is my point, though. What's the difference? If the pitcher and the catcher are both touching the ball and one of them is infected, then what's the difference if. You follow me? It's
yep.
Like, how do you know if the catcher's infected that it's happening on every pitch anyway?
So there's some I'm okay with. So, I mean, let me just try and, click my way through them, Maz. Managers and coaches must wear masks while in the dugout. You have a problem with that?
I don't, because you're talking about older guys.
Yes, and the whole mask thing in general, I know this has been a point of contention for some people. Like, the mask thing to me feels like the least of our problems. Like, wear the effing mask. Just, if it gets you out and allows the health officials to open up the building, wear the effing thing. Like, Jesus, I have a hard time with the people who are pushing back against it. You're not going to stand in front of my personal liberty. I'll just put on the freaking mask if it all gets us out and it gets the doctor to shut up, right? Put on the mask. God, that's one I do. I get frustrated. Just put on the stinking mask, all right? So, yeah, fine, the mask. Managers and coaches must wear masks while in the dugout. The entire traveling party, including players, must wear PPE. Personal protective equipment while on buses and flights. Restaurants are off limits on the road, including the ones in hotels, as are hotel fitness centers, also Ubers and cabs. I'll tell you what, I don't have a problem with any of that. I really don't.
No, most of the off-field stuff I think is fine.
I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, if you open up and say that you all can go out to restaurants, well, what does that mean? Restaurant, bar, club, crowded restaurant? No, I'd take that all off the table. Seats in the empty stands near the dugout should be used to maintain distance. That's where players, coaches not playing will go. No problem with that. Just walk up a few flights of steps and sit in the seats. You don't have to sit in the dugout. That's fine with me. I don't have a problem with that. Everyone must keep their distance during Star Spangled Banner and God Bless America. I mean, that feels like a little much, but fine, whatever, that's easy. Just go ahead, do it, fine, spread out. Okay, can we go, and like anything that just gets the, you know, the authority to sign off on it, and we could just go forward, do, right? So, fine, you want us to spread out during the anthem? No problem, fine, we'll spread out, no big deal. I think it's too much. I think it's ridiculous, but what, are we going to fight that?
See, but Mike, I don't even have a problem with that one, and I'll tell you why, because again, these don't affect the game on the field. So you want to tell me during the anthem, guys, spread out a little bit. Fine. You want to tell me masks when you're in the stands. Fine. You know, certainly the travel restrictions, everything else. No problem. I can't get within 3 feet of a base runner, but before the pitcher gets on the mound or however that one was worded.
So let me get to that.
Okay, go.
I'm just saying that the ones that I can easily accomplish and the players can easily accomplish, just say yes to. Just yes them. Yeah, okay, we'll spread out during the anthem. Like, big deal. Like, what? Who's going to fight that? Like, so, I mean, let's give the health authorities the easy ones. You want us to sit in the stands? Fine. You want us to spread out during the anthem? Fine. You want me to wear a mask? All right, not that big a deal. I'll wear the effing mask. Fielders are encouraged to retreat several steps away from the base runner between pitches. So that one I don't get. That one I don't get. Does that mean the first baseman who's holding on the runner at first has to... He can't hold him on, or he's got to, or if they're trying to run a pickoff play at second. I mean, there's really not a lot of interaction between, obviously, the fielders and the base runners. I mean, I'm not even exactly clear what they want there. But, I mean, so that one I guess I would push back. You know, like, what does that mean? So you have to retreat several steps away between pitches. So I guess that means the first baseman can hold him on while the pitcher's on the rubber or on the mound, but then in between pitches, while the pitcher's scratching his balls and the batter has stepped out of the batter's box to adjust, you know, the interminable wait between pitches in baseball, the first baseman then has to run off the bag. He can't sit there. All right. First and third base coaches are not to approach base runners or umpires. I'm all for that. No need to anyway. And players should not socialize with opponents. No problem. Shut up.
That one I'm okay with too.
Okay, so again, there's no around the horn. There's no if multiple players touch the ball, that ball comes out of the game. Again, I really wouldn't fight it because, I mean, what's the diff, Maz? They got a ball bag there. Just throw one out and put one in. If anyone more than just a pitcher, catcher, handle the ball, throw the ball out. Fine, right? Like, what's the diff?
Okay, so look, I understand that in the, you know, after a play is complete, you can easily put a new ball in the game. I get that. But also, can we play the sport? Like, can we actually play it? And the thing with the base runners, to me, blows my mind. So the pitcher delivers the ball. The guy then has to get away from the base runner. And how long before he has to get back? Like, what if the catcher wants to throw down to first base? Is the guy allowed to run back in?
Right.
Or, you know, so like, where is the line there? And I just think that now, you know, to me, that's just a silly one. Again, what's the whole point of testing these guys aggressively so that you can play the games and then say, well, you can't play the game the same way you played it before? There are some things you can take out. There are other things that I look at and say, fellas, it's okay if they're 4 feet away from each other if they've both been tested. It's okay. Can we let that one go?
Players prohibited from taking showers after games. Okay, and there will be no fist bump celebrations or spitting sunflower seeds. No spitting, period. No spitting. That one is, I'm sorry, that's going to change the game because these guys are going to be mental cases if they can't spit. And I'm not even ragging on them there. It's just such a ingrained part of being out there on a baseball field that if you're not allowed to spit, that's going to crawl inside your cage, and you're not going to be able to throw the ball or hit the ball. Like, if they're all being tested, the guy out in right field is going to be spitting, okay? And the guy in right field is going to be having sunflower seeds and spitting. So, like, that one I think is ridiculous. Again, no hugs or high fives after a home run. Obviously, a ban on chewing tobacco, which already existed. Players would go through daily temperature screenings and have to sanitize their hands each half inning. MLB plans to perform thousands of tests on players and coaches, da da da, and then we get into the testing thing. The hand sanitizing, fine. Have a hand sanitizer there. You come in off the diamond, sanitize your hands, fine. Like, most of these, you can sit here and get all out. Like, well, I'm not doing that. Why are we got? As opposed to if you just say yes to the easy ones. You get the health officials off your back. They give you the check mark, and you go out there and play. And then they're not going to measure you during the freaking anthem. And, you know, you'll be okay. And, you know, will you be able to get in a little spit in there in left field? Yes, but the guy, you know, some of these guys step out of the batter's box, Maz, and it's like a freaking rain shot.
It is. It's like, yeah, it's like from a parody movie or something.
What,
like,
what's all, that guy going to do?
Spinning and snorting all over the place.
The thing about the nose, you know, most of those guys are spitting in the dugout, right? They're spitting their sunflower seeds right out there in the dugout on the ground where they're all stepping. That, if baseball could find a way to evolve out of that, that is kind of gross.
No, that's a big one. So look, in the dugout, to me, that's where, again, you say, you know, don't, you're spitting right next to someone else, for crying out loud. You're spitting on the dugout floor. You're spitting on the bench all the time. I mean, you see it all the time. So that one, guys are going to have to be a little more careful with. But out on the field, you know, like, and the other thing, what about the guy who blows the snot out of his nose? Who, like, closes off one nostril,
yeah, no,
blows
no.
snot
yeah,
out.
Yeah, the farmer's blow.
Yeah, is that considered spitting? Or is that allowed?
No, I'd say that's worse, but,
well,
you know.
Well, so would I.
Okay. So, all right. So, this is where we're going to start on a reentry Monday. Anything you want from the weekend. But I guess the question for the baseball thing is, does it reach a point where, what's the point? You know, if a baseball player can't spit, should you even be playing? I guess that's a question for you. To your calls right after this.
That is how detailed this plan is, and it covers everything from testing to travel to the smallest, tiniest things. That is how detailed this plan is, and it covers everything from testing to travel to the smallest, tiniest things you can possibly imagine. And Major League Baseball feels like this plan needed to be as detailed as it is, not just to get players back and have them feel safe and feel like they're in a healthy environment, but because public health commissioners and local health officials are going to have to rubber stamp any plan that Major League Baseball has to come back if it's planning on coming back in the 26 major metropolitan areas where it plays in. So this was almost a nod to them and to this idea that if we're going to do this, we need to do it as thoroughly as possible and try and cover every contingency possible.
Okay, Jeff Bass at ESPN. This is where we're starting. You can start wherever you want on a reentry Monday. Richie in the truck, lead us off, Rich.
Hey, how you guys doing? First time, long time.
Welcome, Rich.
About the whole spitting thing, it's never going to work. Never going to work. Baseball is the ultimate sport of superstition, repetition, and routine. What's the penalty if you're spitting in the batter's box? Called strike?
So that's the thing, Richie. They didn't lay out what the punishments are, which tells you that, as Passan just said there, it's just a nod for the health officials. Look, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. These are the rules. But there's no, well, you know, two things. I mean, it's, you know, hopefully they have no plans to go through with it. But if they do put in punishments, what do you think the players' union is going to do? Good Lord, trying to get these guys to throw the baseball inside of 30 seconds takes an act of Congress. You think they're going to get them to quit spitting if you put a punishment in there? So just put it in there. Yes, the health officials to death, and get out there. You know, so to me, hopefully that's what's going on, Murray. Big Jim, you got a thought?
Yes, yeah, and if that's what it is, I can live with it. If this is just to appease the nerds so you can get out there and play, fine. But you can't enforce this on the players, because most of these rules, like the spitting one, they're trying to govern ritualistic behavior that's been ingrained in these guys for years. No spitting in baseball is like not breathing. You can't just switch that off. So like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge thing. Like, yeah, we have to put this on paper. Yes, we have to appease these people so we can actually play the games, but we're not going to fine you, and we're not really going to be that strict about it.
And remember, too, that the players, they'll agree not to spit if you don't cut their salaries, right? You see, if they do it,
yes, right.
Now you're asking me not to spit? No, I won't do that for 50%, but I will if I get, because they got to get theirs.
There's something, like, just other ones, too, like the no shower thing. Don't showers involve soap? I thought soap was good. Like, we're supposed to use soap. Soap is good. Soap kills the germs.
I don't have a big problem with it. You know, again, I don't know, when you put this in the email, it's like Little League. You show up in
your uniform. I kind of like that one. Yeah.
Show up in your uniform, go home in your uniform.
I like it. Again, in fact, if you have to, ride your bike to the game, too. Do that. Like, whatever it takes. The whole showering thing in the clubhouse, you know, it, to me, what are you going to do that for? You know, again, you can't go anywhere anyway. You just got to go back to your hotel if you're on the road. So shower when you get back. End of story.
To me, that's not a deal breaker. The spitting's a deal breaker, and the distancing from the base runners, which I still don't even really get, those kind of feel like deal breakers. Bob and Quincy, go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys. How are you? I hope you're staying safe.
You too.
So I have a question. If there's a runner on first, and the your first baseman's holding the runner, and the pitcher throws over, does the ball come out or does it go back to the pitcher?
All right.
Secondly, what's the role of the umpires in the game outside of handling the baseballs? And third, are these guys going to have to transport their own equipment? My God, what are they going to do?
No, they're not going to. No. You want to have Roger Clemens complaining about carrying his own bags. The umpires are going to umpire. I don't know what the question is there. They're talking about eliminating one of them, I think. I think they're going to take the Crews down by one, Maz, if I read that somewhere as well. The first thing, though, about, you know, multiple players touching the ball comes out. That's a good point. You know, pitcher to catcher, catcher throws a pickoff, throw to first base. That's three people. They toss that ball out. There's a, if there's a rundown, a couple of, you know, first baseman, second baseman, pitcher, for, you know, throw the ball out. I mean, it really doesn't take much to throw the ball out, but it's like, I mean, really, if they're all tested, then what are you worried about there anyway?
See, to me, that's the one, like the idea of touching the, you know, no bat boys, no bat girls, right? Because the guy asked about the equipment. So, like, they get this phobia about touching the equipment, like, and the ball. It's, if everyone's being tested and the equipment is sanitized at the beginning, you should be able to play the game with everybody touching each other's, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying you want someone grabbing someone's glove or someone grabbing someone's bat, but the ball's obvious. If everyone's been tested and everything is sanitized ahead of time, then what does it matter if two people are touching the ball? In theory, you should already be around that obstacle.
Right.
It makes no sense to me.
There's a couple examples of this in sports. I'll get to the German soccer here coming up. There were some there's no goal celebrations. You're not allowed to hug. You're not allowed to jump on each other, pile on each other, etc. Only elbow bumps is the most they'll allow. And there were a couple of teams that got carried away and hugged each other and had a couple of group celebrations where guys were hugging each other or jumping on each other, and they got tisked. And some of the German soccer coaches said, well, on corner kicks, we're all piled in there anyway, all grabbing each other. Like, we're all, you know, every contested ball, there's two guys running into each other. And on the corner kicks, there's 20 guys in that little box wrestling with each other and grappling with each other. So, what, you know, and we're all tested. So, like, some of them just go a little bit too much. Kurt in Maine, again, reentry Monday, East Boston Savings Bank, everything on the board from the weekend. You had a thought on The Last Dance. Go ahead, Kurt.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure. What do you got?
I just wanted to comment on the Last Dance documentary. I thought it was brilliantly done. And bear with me. I think the Chicago Bulls team and the Patriots, you couldn't get two stories that are more identical in terms of success and star power. For example, start with the six rings. That's the evident one.
Well, Kurt, let me stop you. Patriots, Jordan, Patriots, Last Dance comparisons. Let's just say the Pats are as great as the Bulls, if not greater. I don't want to ask that. Is the breakup comparable? Can you draw parallels from the Bulls breakup to the Patriots breakup, Maz?
I mean, a little bit. You know, it's not perfect because obviously the Bulls won in their final year. The Patriots didn't. There was a huge age factor with Brady at the end. But I would say overall, the line that led me to draw the comparison is when Phil Jackson said, you know, it was time. It was just time. You know, we were all going to kind of do our own thing at that stage. And I think that the similar thing happened in Foxborough. So, yes, some comparisons can be drawn. They're not perfect, but yes.
So I don't think there are, I mean, of course there are some, but I don't think that they apply. Like, I don't think the breakup of the Bulls is applicable to the breakup of the Patriots. The breakup of the Bulls is unforgivable, you know, and to me, it's the difference of the sport. It's the difference of the sport. In basketball, when you have the best player, that's it. That's the whole game. That's it. It's over. When you have a league MVP, you don't need anything else. That's all you need. And to allow that to walk out the door or to allow that to come to an end before its time is really unforgivable.
I mean, that was like a full organizational teardown at the end there and losing the coach. Like, you can't compare that because Belichick's still here. I'm sure there's like hurt feelings. There's going to be some similarities. Like, down the road, I wouldn't be shocked if Brady or even Gronk, but especially Brady said, hey, I think we left one on the table. Maybe I could have got another one there, but Bill wanted to go another direction. But other than that, no, I don't think it's that
well,
close.
I mean, let me ask you, who is more important, Jordan to the Bulls or Brady to the Patriots?
Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan to the Bulls.
And I'm sorry, it's not even
by
close.
By a hair.
By a hair?
Yeah.
By a massive afro that stretches about a billion miles hair. I mean, are you kidding me? Murray.
So you mean Belichick then? So by saying that, Belichick's the more important piece here is what you feel.
Well, I mean, I do. That's by a hair. But it's the nature of the sport. The nature of the sport is in basketball. If you have the one singular talent, it's over. You don't need anything else. That's it. In football, you can have the best quarterback in the league, and it still doesn't guarantee anything. I mean, that's like, it's just the nature of the sport to me is the difference. If you have the league MVP in basketball and you let that thing fall apart or him walk out the door or come to an end before it's time, there's no excuse for that. That's all that matters in that sport. In football, you can have the best quarterback and still that's only whatever. Half the pitcher, three quarters of the pitcher. It's nothing like basketball. To me, that's the difference, Murray. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but if it's just Bill here over this last 20 years and Brady's never here, never drafted, they don't win a title. Even if he ends up with Garoppolo or it's still Bledsoe, like, you know, they'll be competitive, but they don't win crap.
I just think you could have won titles without Brady. I don't think the Bulls would have won squat without Michael Jordan. Squat.
Right. Yeah, it's just, and again, you do it the opposite way, too. Let's say that the Bulls change the pieces around, but they keep Jordan. They might have won another one. Now, look, they got to find a Pippen and stuff like that. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, that as long as they have Jordan, they have a chance.
Okay, we pick it up on the other side. Murray's update here on a Reentry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Maz, you got a few words on that?
Yep, maybe you're looking at finance, a home mortgage, a commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Visit EBSB.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank, getting it done since 1848.
Colin Coward of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
You guys do a great show.
98.5 to Sports Hub.
With respect to games, youth sporting games are mentioned in this plan. A lot of people wondering about the Sox, the Patriots. Can you say anything about that?
Well, the youth sports stuff is being worked through the reopening advisory board, and there are a lot of people who, frankly, gave you guys some really good ideas about how to do this. The professional stuff's running through a different channel.
All right. Big Jim Murray had the report just in the update here. Can you tell some of those different channels, Murray, or just some of the details related to youth sports or pro sport? Tell me this. Can the Celtics go into that freaking gym and shoot some jumpers?
I'll tell you, I'm guessing no. I mean, isn't that under gyms? Because gyms won't open until phase three. Looking at phase three, which begins after at least 3 weeks, in phase two, that includes the following that can open. Indoor recreation can reopen. Gyms and fitness studios can reopen. The state is considering allowing personal training and outdoor classes to open sooner. So maybe there's the out there. You know, smaller gyms or something that's like a niche and, you know, a big moneymaker like the Boston FN Celtics, they'll be able to open up a little bit earlier.
See, to me, that's a place of work. For them, it's a place of work.
Thank you.
So I look at it and say, and again, I think gym in the, you know, GYM, gym in the conventional sense is a place people go to work out, treadmills, you know, bikes, all that, stationary bikes, all sort of that stuff. To me, the gym for the Celtics is a place of employment. So I put that under the category of 25%. Like, you know, 25% out of the gate, you know, what do you got, 12 players on a team? So
okay, but
to
that's, is that next week?
It's Monday the 25th, correct.
So for crying out loud, B-Rob's helping us out there. You hearing anything, B-Rob? Can they get in there and shoot some jumpers or not? They got to wait a week? What are you hearing?
Nothing yet. But I'm hearing they're just waiting on the okay from the city of the state.
I mean, for crying out loud. Seriously. Still waiting for those guys to just get in there and play one on zero. I mean, freaking ridiculous.
Insane.
Or the guys that take a couple spins around the ice.
God dang, that's frustrating.
Murray, just quickly, you said it in your update. Tell me what, just give it to me again about youth sports.
So athletic fields can open as soon as next Monday, May 25th. Youth sports will be able to resume in the second phase, which, again, that is planned a couple of weeks after, you know, so first couple of weeks of June. But large arenas and stadiums will not be open until phase four. And fans will not be allowed back for the foreseeable future.
Okay, so that we knew, like Marty Walsh said, no fans at Fenway, But is Baker saying the buildings won't be open, period, until phase four, whether it's for fans or not?
I mean, again, reading it here, under the final phase, large arenas and stadiums will be allowed to open. The state has yet to announce any plan to allow fans back into stadiums, but that is listed under phase four, the new normal.
Okay, but you know what I'm – so you understand what I'm driving at, Maz. Is he saying the arenas and stadiums are closed, period, or they're just closed to fans until Phase 4?
So, I interpret that as fans. So, because, again, I think now there might be special, you know, exceptions given to the sports leagues in this whole thing, that if they get to the point where they start having training camp and now it's we're going to talk about playing games, yes, we consider this a place of employment, and so we're going to leave, you know, we're going to allow it open.
Are people going to have problems if they give them special exceptions?
I don't think so.
I hope not.
Oh, God. I mean.
Oh, but some will. You know that that's going to happen.
No, I think people would. I think people will have a problem with it if they were to open it up to fans. But the fact is that these guys' jobs are unique. So what are you going to do? You're going to allow people to go back in their place of work, but you won't allow these guys to go in there? I mean, that's not right either. So I sort of look at it and say, you want to play without fans, then their risk is really no different than anyone else's. Open up the building, let them go in and work, and then, you know, you see how it goes from there. The other thing is this whole plan, phase one, phase two, and I read through it as much as I could and obviously could only retain so much given the pea size of my brain, for crying out loud. But that said, it's like this thing's never going to go according to schedule. We all know that. Okay. We all know that.
So, but the term of special and unique, they are. They are, and we know they are, because these particular workers, when they have a really good day or a good season, you shut down the city for a day and run a parade through the streets, okay? Which we don't do at the shoe repair shop. So it is, I know we all want to be treated and have them all treated as equal, but they're not, okay? So these teams have a certain pedestal that they have and a certain level of import in this town that they have, and so if they get nudged ahead, can we please not picket the Red Auerbach Center because Marcus Smart wants to go in and shoot some jumpers, maybe a little bit ahead of his scheduled phase? So I'm still frustrated that, you know, after today, I still can't figure out if they're going to allow the Warrior Ice Rink to open up so Bergeron can take a twirl. I'm still wondering about that. But back to your phones. We are opening with the MLB rules and all this stuff. Go ahead, Thomas and Brighton.
Hi, thanks, guys. Two quick points. But what I wanted to say is this thing with the spitting on the baseball players. I mean, I'm looking at a report right now. Josh Hamilton wins MVP in 2010, comes back in 2012, hits 177 in July, to the point where Nolan Ryan, the CEO, says it didn't look good and only Josh knows what was in his heart and what was in his mind. I just don't think that's going to work. And then second, Mike, you couldn't be more wrong about
Thomas, what does Josh Hamilton have to do with spitting?
The quitting tobacco.
Oh, quitting tobacco. Quitting tobacco.
Yeah.
So fair. So I missed that part, Thomas. I think that's a fair comp. Yeah. I think it crawls inside these guys' heads. Absolutely.
So he quits tobacco and then hits 177 in July, 2 years after he wins MVP, and to the point where Nolan Ryan is saying that.
Sure. I got it.
And then second, like I don't think you'd be more wrong about the quarterback position. I mean, Tony's been sitting there crying the horn for years about how the quarterback position is the most important position on the field in sports. And I mean, like,
it
who
is.
Makes those throws on 3rd and 10?
Thomas, it is. I just have to cut you off. It is the most important position in sports. Just about. Hockey goalie, baseball pitcher, like he's, you know, that. He's in that, the quarterback's in that spot, but that doesn't mean it's still nothing compared to the basketball MVP, the top one, two, three NBA player. There's this great stat in the NFL that there hasn't been a league MVP to win a Super Bowl since Kurt Warner, 99. Is that the number?
Yes.
I think that's right. Yep.
So something like this. We're going on 20 something years since the best player in the league won a championship in football. In basketball, it happens almost every year that the league MVP wins a championship, and that's an exaggeration. I just pulled that out of my ass, but it's generally true that the best player wins in basketball. Am I wrong about that, Maz?
No, of course not. Look, and again, I understand his point. Like, I sit here and say quarterback's the most important position in sports, and yet, but when I say position, in basketball, it can be anything. You know, it's just about having the best player. Whether it's a center or forward or guard, doesn't matter. And in the NFL, you got to have a quarterback. That's really what the essence of the discussion is. So, you know, and in that league, if you don't have the great player, you're not going to win.
But the first point on Josh Hamilton. So Hamilton obviously has a lot of other issues swirling around up there. Like, it wasn't just chewing tobacco for that fella. But I do think it still applies that these baseball players, I mean, if you tell them they can't scratch their crotch and spit, I swear they're going to be mental cases. And I'm sort of with them on this. Like, this is how they get through a ball game. They grab their nuts, they spit, and they adjust their bat. You know, some of it takes too long, but if you tell them not to do it and tell them they can't do it, I bet some of them are going to be, they won't be able to swing the bat.
Mike, we were talking about the pace of play last week. David Price said, I'm taking my time. I don't care. So they can't change their routine to speed up the game and make the product better. You think all of a sudden they're going to stop spitting and blowing snot out their nostrils?
I would say, though, the spitting in the dugout, though, that's not a bad idea to get right. That is filthy.
It's disgusting.
I mean, it really is. Those guys just let it rip right there on the ground where they're all walking and they're all stepping. On the field, you know, for crying out loud, let the left fielder chomp on some sunflower seeds and spit. Is it really going to matter? In the dugout, you know what? I actually don't blame them in the dugout. That is gross. Long commercial.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mazz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mazz.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
A month ago, you formed an advisory panel to deal with the reopening of the country. Commissioners, including Jay Monahan of the PGA Tour, on that. What guidance are you and the White House giving them about returning to competition?
Right. Well, golf was very well represented with, you know, so many of your friends and the commissioners and all of the people, heads of golf, and also of the other sports. And we want to get sports back. We miss sports. We need sports in terms of the psyche of our country. And that's what we're doing.
Need sports back for the psyche of the country. I mean, believe me, I want sports back because it's my business, our business. It's how we support ourselves, how we support our family. The whole psyche of the country, and that was Trump calling in to the golf thing with McIlroy and Dustin Johnson. I don't blame him for saying that, because I do think that for some people, it does improve the psyche and morale, and for sports fans, it is very important. It does improve our psyche, no doubt about it. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's, to me, that is, especially when the owners do it. I have a bigger problem when Cuban does it. We need it because people need us. People want us back. People need us back. We're good for the country. It's like, no, you're doing it because you want your business back. And that's, you know, I think that's reason enough. You want to get your business back up and running. I mean, did the McIlroy-Dustin Johnson thing improve the psyche of the country over the weekend?
Nope.
No.
Did you even know it was on?
I knew it was on. I knew NASCAR was back. And I think it's a respite for people that want to tune into something and be like, ooh, live sports. I remember these from a few months ago when life seemed sort of normal. And you might forget about things for a little while, but it doesn't make things better for a guy who's lost his job and doesn't know what his future holds.
So to me, it does help that they were the golf doesn't, because I can't do exhibitions. Even in non-pandemic times, I'm not watching an exhibition. I'm not watching the skins game. I'm not watching that stuff. I don't care about that. I'm just not going to watch it. And NASCAR, I mean, give me a break. I don't care. I was the last person on earth, and that was the last thing and the only thing on television. I wouldn't watch it. I'd go drown myself. Okay?
Oh, same. So, but I know that some people were. I mean, there are fans of it. There are people that were pumped it was back.
So good for you, and I hope that improved your psyche. I'm not going to, you know, begrudge you. I'm just telling you, for me, those were two events that were just, you know, not for me. Exhibition golf and NASCAR. I did watch the European soccer and the Bundesliga over the weekend, and I have some thoughts on that coming up. But anyway, that was Trump calling in on the golf. Maz, you had a thought quickly?
Well, so look, I just think that there are people out there, though, that it is a welcome diversion for. And so, you know, sometimes I think we forget that given what we do for a living, that it means a lot to the people out there. And so, you know, I saw some of the German soccer highlights over the weekend. And when so it must have been, what, I think the game was on Saturday. So I sat down Sunday and I saw the highlights and I went, oh, live highlights. I didn't see the actual game, and I went, oh, this is nice. This is nice to actually see highlights of a game that was played, and the fact that there were no fans in the stands or anything like that. And again, I didn't watch the live broadcast, but it did not bother me the least. I was more interested in the outcome, and I was pleasantly surprised to see that I felt the way. I think there is value in that. I've said that from the beginning. Having them there does mean something.
Yeah, and I'm glad you didn't need the live fans. And I watched some of the games live, and I didn't. Well, you know, we'll get to the whole fan thing coming up, but you know, even the Bundesliga, which I don't normally care about or follow, at least in the 30, 45 minutes I was watching the thing, I was able to see, and I forgot who was who and what was what. So you soccer fans are probably going to, you know, I'm going to get this wrong, but I think one team was undefeated, one team was looking at relegation, and then for those 30, 45 minutes, I just got into it for a little bit because there were stakes. For those teams on the field, there were stakes, and that's what I need. I need stakes. I can't do friendly games. I can't do exhibition games. I can't do video game tournaments. I can't do like this Brady golf thing this weekend. I could give two poops about unless I somehow place a bet on it, and now I've got money on it, so then maybe that's the only shot you would get me to watch that. But I, you know, even if the stakes aren't mine, I need stakes, an actual league, actual standings, that sort of stuff. And so even just for the, again, the short window that I watched the soccer, at least it had it. Anyway, back to your phones. Mario in Vermont. Go ahead, Mario. Mario! Okay, babe, you can call us back. You know the number. We're taking calls. You have to pay attention. Billy always pays attention. Hi, Billy.
How you doing? Felger, on this issue about all these rules and regulations, I'm just thinking, if you're going to play the game, get tested, come out and play the game. Forget about all these rules. Because once you've been tested, that should be enough for these guys to relax and play the game by the rules. And that's it. Now, God forbid one of these guys catches this stuff. The first thing we're going to hear is they're shutting down again. They're going to find out where it came from, how the hell it happened, because they all were tested negative, and now we got a situation again. So this is just going to keep on going. Everything's inflated.
So,
granted, it's a big problem, but we got to play the game as it should be played. And just once they're tested, that should be enough,
okay,
right there.
Okay, so that point I get. That we all agree with. You know, the thing about the first baseman has to run away from the runner at first in between pitches. Well, if they're all tested and you're conducting a safe environment, you shouldn't have to do that. So I agree with you on that, Billy. I agree with you on that. The second point you had that I didn't agree with, and I can't remember what it is now because I can't put two things in my brain at once, as usual. God, that's so annoying. But in general, I agree with that premise, Maz.
Yes, look, again, if you're going to go through all these hoops to get the guys on the field, you have to at least preserve the game on some level, something close to what it is meant to be. So, like, the one with the ball bugs me. And when I say with the ball changing hands from player to player, so the shortstop feeds the second baseman, they turn the double play, and the ball's got to come out of the game? And so, listen, I know that's an easy one to do. That's not what I'm saying. I just think it speaks to a level of micromanagement that doesn't need to be there, and especially if every half inning these guys are using sanitizer on their hands.
So the point I disagree with is that they're going to shut the league down with one positive test. They're not. That's the whole point. They've reached this, you know, needed conclusion that you can't bring 2,000, 3,000 players together, maybe in neutral cities, or go through all of this and then shut the whole thing down if there's one positive test. No, they're putting protocols in place to separate the one positive test but still go forward with the game in the league, which is what they absolutely have to do. And maybe that's partly why, you know, they know something's going to slip through the cracks, so they still have to do as much social distancing as possible and appease the public health officials that we're doing X, Y, and Z. And so hopefully a lot of this is just lip service for those public health officials, because some of it just feels like it's not feasible. Go ahead, Mass.
No, I was just going to say the big thing with the players is, look, after you handle the ball, don't put your hands in your mouth. Don't rub your eyes. Don't stick your finger in your ear. When you get back to the dugout, use a sanitizer again. I mean, I sort of go back to what, you know, our medical expert, Paul Sachs from the Brigham, has been telling us, which is, you know, whenever you do something, wash your hands, clean your hands, then go back. That's what you do over and over and over again, and keep your hands away from your face. That, to me, feels like it works. It's not excessive or psychotic, and it allows you to actually still function without disrupting the routines too much. That, to me, feels like a reasonable alternative.
It is a reentry Monday. The MLB rules, which are numerous, 67-page document, on the table. We also are talking about The Last Dance and any comparables to the Patriots, if that's what you want to hit on. I do want to get to some percolating news coming out of the NHL, and I think that for the first time in a while, I am seeing light at the end of the NHL tunnel. I feel like they are narrowing down a proposal, and I like it. I actually like what I'm hearing about what they're considering doing coming out of the NHL. We'll do that after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.